Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. It occurred to me that I failed to mention last weekend that it was Father's Day weekend. And I have fond memories of my dad and the ministry that he had, the influence he had upon my life, and of course his love for this radio program that he started in a radio station in 1937 in High Point, North Carolina. And what a joy it has been for me to continue broadcasting this program, carrying on the desire and the purpose to reach the lost and dying for Jesus Christ and to encourage those who do serve the Lord. So I hope you enjoy the program today. We're going to forego one of our songs so that we can get a large part of one of Dad's sermons on the air, and I hope you enjoy it. As always, we need to mention to you that we need for you to help us stay on the air. You can write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. And then I'm going to be going to camp meetings in the month of July, taking a few days off between this final camp meeting that we had in June at Beulah Camp in Alabama. We're singing this last weekend of the month of June at our home church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And then take the holiday week off, and then we'll be at Frankfort Camp Meeting in Frankfort, Indiana, July 12 to 19, and then Frostbridge Camp, July 20 to 26. So I do covet your prayers as we go and minister at these camp meetings. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today for your blessings in our lives and for the folks who listen to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, and I pray that you would bless them in a very special way today. I pray that you would continue to meet the needs of this program and Lohman Ministries as well. Thank you for doing that across the years of time. We are indeed blessed, and we give you all the credit, Father. We thank you. I pray for those who might be struggling today, those who need a special touch of your Holy Spirit upon their life, those who need a measure of peace to experience that. Pray that you'd be with them as well. Bless the program and the sermon and the music. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and give there.
Thank you. tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Of scripture that is found in the fourth chapter of the first epistle of Peter. And I'm going to read, beginning with the first verse, and you'll notice these words: "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For for this cause is the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." 8 verses in the fourth chapter, the first epistle of Peter. And the very first statement found in verse 7, I use as a text tonight. And it simply says, but the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. In the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22 and verse 37, the last statement in that verse says, the things concerning me have an end. I want to use those two statements as a basis for the message tonight. The things concerning me have an end. The end of all things is at hand. There's a little three-letter word in both of these phrases that suggests the truth that most people do not like to think about. That is that little three-letter word, end. For it suggests the finality of things. It suggests the end of things. Things that every one of us inevitably are going to have to come to at some time or other. In this life, if Jesus tarries his coming, I know that many of us regret to see the end of this camp meeting. I've seen revivals that I regretted to see the end come. There have been experiences in the lives of every person in this congregation tonight that suggest to us the frailty of certain things that we encounter. Most people do not like to think about the end of life, the end of this dispensation. The Apostle Peter, in the passage that I read in your hearing, speaks about the end of all things being at hand. I do not believe that he intended to imply, neither do I intend to imply, that I believe the end of this world is immediate. I do not believe the world will end tonight or tomorrow or next week or next month. And the reason I say that is because there's too many things scripturally that have to come to pass before the end of this world order. But I do believe that the end of this dispensation could come before the sun rises in the morning. I believe that Jesus could step down on the clouds and from the eastern horizon come back immediately to catch away his waiting bride. And some of you, when you give serious consideration to that fact, it disturbs you because it suggests the end of opportunity. Because when Jesus comes, or when the Holy Spirit takes his flight, if you're not properly prepared, and if you haven't made ready for that end and the time of departure from this life, that'll be the day that you wished that you'd never been born. And you'd give three worlds like this if you had them at your disposal to have a little more time to make preparation for the final end. In that 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel, these are the words of the Master. The shadows of Calvary were hanging over our wonderful Lord. He's come from Gethsemane. And my friends, he turned to his followers and he said to them, "The things concerning me have an end." He knew that his earthly ministry was just about to come to its final stages. The Master recognized how important that it was for him to be able to face the end of his life and the end of his ministry before he went to the cross. I wish that every person in this great audience tonight would really give some serious consideration and to some sober thinking to this business, that one of these days the things concerning every one of us are going to have an end, and we need to make proper preparation for that time. None of us know when the brittle thread of life is going to snap. None of us know how soon we'll draw our final breath or come right down to the last ebb tide of life, get ready to leave this world and be ushered into a long eternity, either, beloved, to spend that eternity in the blissful presence of our Lord, or in the black nights of the damned, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, the time of the end, it's important that you think about it. The things concerning me and you are going to have an end. And the Bible speaks of four things in particular tonight that I mentioned to you briefly in this area of last things or the finality of things, the end of things for every one of us. And the tragedy, it doesn't matter who you are tonight, what your station is in life, what your situation is in the social realm, in the political arena, or, beloved, in the normal, natural, secular world that you live in, when the end comes or when the time comes for your end, you're going to wish then that you had given attention and you had listened carefully to the voice of God as He spoke to your never-dying soul about proper preparation for your journey into a long eternity that will never cease to be. This book speaks tonight about man's last end. If you'll study over in the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter and verse 10, the writer said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." And I ask you, without any apology, without any hesitation, if your last end came, what would you or how would you like for it to be? You say, "Mr. Lohman, that's a little foolish." Every person that has access to their mental faculties and their right resources of thinking, every person wants their last end to be like that of the righteous. And I believe that I would agree affirmatively that every one of you, when you come to that last end, you want to die the death of the righteous. But let the preacher tell you tonight in no uncertain terms that, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to die the death of the righteous, you're going to have to live the life of the righteous. And if you're going to die right, you're going to have to live right. And when the last end comes, you're going to have to know without any question the blood's been applied, your sins have been forgiven, there's been an importation of divine grace, you've had a change of heart, and you're walking in newness of life, and know Him without any question whatsoever. And the tragedy is that none of us know when that end is going to come. The writer says, "Let me die. When I come to die, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." Sitting in this congregation tonight, there are scores of people that are not properly prepared for that last end. I was invited some years ago to come back to John Wesley College, the school I graduated from, to give the commencement address. I pulled on that college campus that Sunday afternoon. Dr. Jimmy Lentz had preached the baccalaureate sermon that morning. And I noticed the atmosphere was heavy. There was not that usual air of excitement among commencement time and among graduating seniors. The air was so heavy. And I finally stopped on someone and I said, "There's a strained atmosphere. I don't understand it." The young lady said to me, "Mr. Lohman, didn't you hear?" I said, "Hear what?" She said, "Since the morning baccalaureate sermon, one of the promising young men that would have graduated this afternoon met an untimely death. His end came so suddenly. And this afternoon, when you address the graduating class, there'll be an empty seat." Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I struggled through that commencement service. Hearts were heavy. Souls had been grieved for the sudden end of a promising young man graduating from college. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Nobody ever expected that his last end would come so suddenly. I'm speaking to people in this congregation tonight that ought to be stirred as you've never been stirred before at recent happenings when the sudden end came. For some of your friends and some who were close to you, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." I ask you, how would yours be if it came tonight? I know people in this congregation that I could call their names. Friends of mine, people that I love and that love me. You're not ready for your last end. You're not living up to par. Peace you used to have in your soul, not there. Testimony that used to be real, it's been a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I repeat it, if you're going to die right, You're going to have to live right. This Bible not only speaks about man's last end, it talks about man's last words. You read 2 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. It says, "Now these be the last words of David. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." I ask you, beloved, if your last end came, and you were rational, and you had access to your faculties, and you were conscious, and your family standing nearby, I ask you, what kind of a testimony could you leave behind that would take away any question marks and any doubts to those that were near to you about your leaving this world? David came down to die. The book says these were the last words of David. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. What kind of testimony would you have? What would your last words be, friend? I know that these truths sound a little simple, and yet they're tremendously profound. Hear me tonight. I remember preaching my church in Burlington, North Carolina, that I pastored 19 years. I did most of my evangelistic preaching during the war years. We had such tremendous crowds that we had to have two services on Saturday and Sunday nights to take care of the crowds. We'd already preached in this meeting. It lasted 3 weeks. I'd already preached on the last Sunday night to a church filled to capacity, dismissed that crowd, filled the church again. And I'd only been preaching about 20 minutes when the Holy Spirit checked me. Ladies and gentlemen, if I had time tonight, I could cite you in the last 22 years 10 times that the Holy Spirit has checked me like that, and I stopped immediately, and somebody in my service had their last time. Their last end came. And I was checked by the Spirit that night after preaching about 20 minutes, and I said, "Bow your heads, there's somebody here that won't ever be back." And I don't just beat the air with words. I don't waste words. But I know what it is for God to speak to me. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. The choir stood to sing. Choir situated in the corner, elevated. Several people began to come to the altar. But I noticed that a young 16-year-old boy on the back seat didn't stand to sing. And the Holy Spirit said, "Speak to him." I went over to where he was seated with his head in his hands. "What's wrong, Clarence?" He said, "Mr. Loman, I've never known anything but the church. Mom and Dad's brought me here as long as I remember. But," he said, "I don't have victory." He said, "Do you suppose if I'd go down there that Jesus would forgive me, that He'd blot out my sins?" I said, "That's what He came for." He got up out of that seat and came around to that quiet, down to that altar. And when he stepped down on the main sanctuary floor, that load lifted just like a bird taking its flight. And I called the people in to pray. And ladies and gentlemen, as they came around the altar to pray, that boy's mother and daddy, two sisters and a brother knelt by him. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. That boy went his way to Calvary, prayed through to victory. Last words I ever heard him utter on this earth, I heard him utter at that altar. Put his arms around his mother and he said, "Mom, I'm ready to go to heaven with you now." Those were the last words that I ever heard Clarence Fawcett utter. 2 days later, I stood and looked into his silent face in his casket. When I was summoned to that home, his mother fell on my arm and she said, "Brother Loman, the only thing that's holding me steady right now is the last words that Clarence said at the altar Sunday night when he said, 'Mom, I'm ready to go with you to heaven.'" What would your last words be, friend? I stood by a hospital bedside in Greensboro, North Carolina. Lady who had been a member of my church, literally. Her body was swollen twice its size with terminal cancer. And I stood there. Her body was swollen so until her eyes were swollen shut. And I said, "Sister Ruth, this Brother Loman." She said, "Oh, Brother Loman, I'm so glad you came by." She said, "I want you to pray for me, but I don't want you to pray that God will heal me. I want you to pray that God will release me."
I never prayed a prayer like that before, and I've never prayed one like it since. But I asked the Lord to honor her faith and her devotion and give her release from that disease-ridden body and take her on to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, less than an hour, and I heard her pray the same prayer in less than an hour. The nurse summoned her family, and I stood there by that bedside, and I heard her tell her husband and her children goodbye. And I saw the last end come, and I remembered her last words to her companion. Ladies and gentlemen, she slipped away to be with the Lord. I'm asking you tonight, beloved, in the face of the finality of things, if the last end came, what would be your last words? Would you have a testimony that you could leave behind, beloved, a ray of hope? Or would your family and your friends stand off and wonder whether or not you made it? You said, Brother Loman, that makes me think I want it too. I wish, beloved, there'd be an atmosphere that'll settle over this great audience tonight until the Holy Spirit and the power of conviction would seize hold of this great audience until men and women would literally fear to leave the confines of this tabernacle.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.